Standing in line for food may not be fun, but for some people, it's a necessity. Daniel Orezco works at Plowshares in Ukiah, a local soup kitchen.
People that are just down, you know, can't afford the economy anymore. Things happen. So we get homeless people, mental people. It's everybody. We get people that have 9-to-5 jobs that just can't really afford to feed their family in the evenings. So we have them too, and we don't discriminate. We encourage that. That's what we're here for.
Orezco's standing in line, keeping tabs of how many people Plowshares will feed for dinner.
And here we're at 74 already, and the line's not even done yet.
Plowshares has been feeding people for 25 years. The soup kitchen started serving lunch and dinner this week due to an increase in needs. Mary Buckley is Plowshares' executive director. She says the soup kitchen isn't just serving homeless people these days.
Thank you.
We have watched the numbers go up, most notably over the last year, children. We used to serve about 5% kids, and in December and January both we hit 15% kids. So we've tripled the proportion of kids that are coming here now that we can feed them after school hours. And that was even factoring in, you know, vacations and summer holidays. It was only about 5%. That means we're seeing a lot more families, not just your single homeless people on the street kind of population, but also families with children who are struggling for the first time.
It looks yummy.
And we've got chili mac today, salad, vegetables, cornbread. They just made that this morning for this morning's lunch. And it's almost all donated. Almost every bit of it is donated.
Susanna, her husband, and two children lost their home to foreclosure and are now living in their van.
We had a home, and it was repossessed. So, you know, that's kind of just what happens if you're in debt and you're, you know, not doing everything just right, saving all your money.
Were you both working? Was the father working?
No, he was working. Yes, he still is, actually. But it wasn't enough to get by like that.
Susanna says they're roughly $20,000 in debt from housing and credit card costs. Her 24-year-old husband, who declined to give their last name, works for a state agency. But Susanna says working for the state doesn't mean job security.
You never know. It's a state job, so it might not last, you know. But we're ready to go to my mom in Pennsylvania if we can't just get through it, you know. Kind of like California, but we may have to go there.
But she says she's grateful for services like Plowshares that keep her children fed at night. Due to the state and nation's economic crisis, social services, especially those meant for low-income people like Susanna and her family, are being cut. State lawmakers failed to reach a budget compromise for months, and that led to no funding for some programs. Mark Roloff is the executive director of the Ford Street Project in Ukiah. He says they've had to cut back their shelter hours and food service.
We've had to reduce the services and cut back. We're cutting back on meals, and we're opening later at 7 o'clock in the evening and closing an hour early at 7 o'clock in the morning, because this will involve less staff hours and less staff time.
That's why Plowshares is picking up the pieces and now serving lunch. Although state lawmakers have reached a budget compromise, Roloff says he doesn't expect full services to be restored at the shelter, leaving the poorest of the poor in dire straits.
I'm just not real sure yet where we're going to be able to put you. I think we're going to have to put you in the TV room, sleeping in there.
The Ford Street shelter used to be opened from 2 p.m. to 8 a.m. Monday through Friday. Now the hours are 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Jeanette Wright is a shelter manager. She says cutting back shelter and work hours impacts those who need it the most.
Well, it affects them greatly because it's raining, and it's been some really, really bad weather. And they don't have anywhere to go. You know, we're not open, and they're out there in the rain, and it's just sad. You know, we're concerned about their health and their welfare out there. And then it's also impacted the staff, you know, as well. So it's a scary situation, and I expect it to get worse before it gets better. I really do.
How many people do you have here a night?
Oh, approximately 60 and up to 70.
Is it all men or is it
no,
families?
No, we have families. Yeah, we have, five families with children.
Wright says 10 children are living at the Ford Street shelter. Brittany Freeman is a single mom. She has a 1.5-year-old boy and another one on the way. She says with the new shorter hours, she has nowhere to go.
It's really hard, but...
What's the hardest part about your day, Brittany?
The hardest part about my day is being out in the cold, in the rain, especially on weekends, because I don't have no family here, really. So, like, all my family's, like, 8 hours away from me, so, yeah.
Freeman says the shelter's closure on the weekends and cutbacks in hours are adding more stress to her life.
I think before it was easier when we actually were allowed to be here at 5, so.
I know, I'm sorry.
It's pretty easier on you.
Yeah, it was a lot easier, and now it's just getting a little stressful and hard to...
And what about on the weekends? Were you able to be here on the weekends, too?
There was times where it was rainy and stuff when we came here, but I think that started to shut down just before we came here. So.
Like at Plowshares, Wright says they're seeing an increase in families needing help. Joanna Gracia says her husband, who works as a landscaper, had a cut in his hours so steep they couldn't afford to pay the rent.
My husband had a really good job, but his boss actually cut his hours because of everything going on. So now he doesn't make nothing compared to what he was making. This is my husband here. His name's Luis. And those are my kids.
Now the family of 5 stay at the shelter at nights while the father works in the days and the kids go to school. Gracia says together they have a routine.
But, I mean, the shelter gives us a place to sleep, so.
Are they still going to school?
Oh, yeah, they go to school. Not this week, but they go to school. We get them there daily, you know.
That must be hard on you.
It is. It's pretty hard on us, actually, it is. Because, like, this week they're not in school, and it's like we're gone from 7 to 7. It's terrible.
Gerald May, the single father of 3 young men, lost his home while battling Hodgkin's lymphoma. He says he lost his income while in and out of the hospital and ended up homeless with his 3 boys.
One major sickness, no job, no house, now here.
He says he's raised his sons without welfare, and he hopes to find work soon to continue raising his boys.
I'm dreaming of getting back to work. I've worked all my life. That's all they've seen their father do. No welfare, no nothing. And when they get big, they're going to work. That's what they've seen. I have a dream of getting back to work. Even if I do have to leave early, they're going to see me go out right.
May says he can't understand how a drug addict can get help faster than a poor father of 3.
Families are last here. I was even told to claim I was a junkie and I'd get a house quicker.
Ford Street Project Executive Director Mark Roloff says the Ford Street also has a 43-bed treatment facility for prisoners with drug or alcohol problems, but that service was shut down due to a lack of state funding.
We got a call from the clearinghouse, which handles these referrals, that said we will not be able to pay you for the month of December. Well, we're at that point where we could not go for very long without funding, so we had to take action almost immediately upon hearing that. And the action we've taken was to close the residential treatment program down. And we're hoping to get it going again just as soon as those funds start coming through for us. But until it does, that program is defunct. And we had 41 people filling 43 beds at the time. So it was a big chunk, and all of the workers, 11 in that program, had been laid off.
Roloff expects the program to reopen soon now that the state has a budget. However, he says their shelter will likely remain in reduced hours. Limited services for the homeless and poor are in greater demand. Shelter manager Wright says there's a 2-year transitional housing program that allows people to live in shared quarters while building back their lives, but it's currently full and has a waiting list.
A lot of times they'll stay the 2 years. Sometimes they'll stay 6 months or a year. We really have no way of knowing when they're going to be leaving. But as soon as there's a vacancy, we usually fill it pretty immediately. Yeah. So they may be here another 3 or 4 months before they can get into something.
But while some services are cutting back, others are increasing. In terms of feeding the hungry, Buckley at Plowshares says they're picking up where Ford Street has left off.
Last week, when the Ford Street Project closed the residential treatment program that was supporting the meal program at the shelter, so they had to drop both the lunches and the dinners at the shelters that they were doing and cut back some shelter hours. So Plowshares board met Thursday, kind of an emergency meeting, and said, yeah, let's do lunches starting Monday. So now we're doing more people for dinner as the shelter people are coming here and also adding lunches. We also do the Meals on Wheels for about 90 seniors. We do the same 5-course hot dinner that delivered to their homes. So you add another 90 or so to that number. We've got our hands full.
While state-funded programs are on the brink of closure, Plowshares is preparing to take on the task of feeding Mendocino County's hungry. Buckley says that's because they're supported by a broad base of community members.
Plowshares has always been funded mostly with community support, almost entirely community support. We get some United Way funding, some foundation grants, very little government money, a few thousand from the feds and several thousand from the county, and mostly government support is not an issue for us. So there's a lot of agencies, including the Ford Street program I just mentioned, that are getting cutbacks or just stalled state funding, and a lot of people, even the county, having to lay off people and cut back. We've actually missed most of the brunt of that because of being community supported. People just give us food or come and help us out with their time, and we've been really lucky that way, although, of course, we're definitely feeling the meals expansion with the economy in general, plus, most drastically, the shelter not offering meals right now.
Plowshares may be the prime example of how communities can pitch in together to brave the storm. Buckley says Plowshares will be serving lunch and dinner at its location for the next 2 months, but given the economic hard times, she expects that to continue far longer.
I don't see that other agencies are going to be able to do it either, so it looks like we're going to do this as long as we can, and that's going to be dependent on community support, as always. And I expect we may have to do some, you know, frugality measures beyond what we've already always worked on a pretty tightened belt kind of a budget and shoestring and grassroots and all that. So I expect we'll continue more of that, even if it means having beans every day.
But still, the faces of homeless youth and working adults living in Mendocino County is a clear example of where state and community support is lacking. A decline in employment and affordable housing is leaving young children on the streets after school because their parents can't afford to pay rent.
I should think it'd be families first.
Jeremy May is a 19-year-old junior college student who sleeps in the homeless shelter at night with his dad and two younger brothers. He says it's hard, but at least they have each other.
This is about as low as it gets, but we're trying to make it through it, and we stick together as a family, and that's what helps, at least a little. But it's still hard.
If a government is judged on how well it takes care of its people, today's vision of the homeless in Mendocino County is a clear example our leaders are failing this broken nation and this community. Whether it's a lack of employment, high rents, unaffordable mortgages, or skyrocketing health care costs, families hit from the economic hard times manage to brave the storm together, making the rough ride a little easier. I'm Christina Onnested reporting for the KZYXNZ Community News.